Well, I've just discovered that my Christmas message is still up on the website. We can't have that, can we? It's well into January now, so here's a new blog. Life goes on, and I'm just installing a wood stove in the new wooden building that's taking the place of the old tin shed in my garden. It was a useful old tin shed, really. It was quite ancient. It came down to my place after World War I, when the troops left the New Forest and there were a few sheds left standing there, and the old boy who lived here thought, I'll have one of those, brought it down and stuck it up, and it's been here ever since. But it was an eyesore and it leaked and it had to go. So now I've got a fine new one, and it's got a little room in it where I can sit and write and think beautiful thoughts. It's also got an insulated garage for my old car. It's going to be bliss for him. He can't believe his luck, actually. He's in there now with a heater. Ha ha! What a world for him. But we're heating our nice new building, and what are we doing it with? Well, it's got to be a wood stove, haven't it? I love wood stoves, and there's plenty of wood around here. So, what's fascinated me about this process is the amount of regulations that there are these days for putting in a wood stove. I know that none of us wants to burn ourselves down, and you don't want to die in your bed, but I can't believe the stuff we have to do. We've put wood stoves in all of our serious cruising boats, and I didn't know there were any regulations. I've just applied a bit of sensible common sense and put my hand on the woodwork and see if it's too hot, and generally it's not, and if it is, I shut the stove down a bit, and that's been it. And we haven't burned ourselves down, nor have we asphyxiated ourselves, but I love those wood stoves on the boats. The first one came to us with Sari, the Colin Archer boat that we bought in the early 1970s and sailed away in. It did us proud, that old stove. Got dripped on occasionally, and I've got to say, after 5 years, we had to throw it over the side and get another one, but it did well. It had a straight-up flue, and it drew beautifully. And when we sailed home from Canada many, many years ago to Ireland, we burnt that stove the whole way across the Atlantic. We had no coal and no money. And so what we did, the chap in Nova Scotia said, I've got a load of old wood out the back there. If you want to chop it up and saw it to length, you can have it for free. So I spent a day chopping this wood up, and I bagged it all up and I threw it into the fore cabin in the boat. We couldn't get in there, we had so much wood, but I knew the stove would eat it all going across the Atlantic, and the trip should have been about 2.5-3 weeks, but in the event it took 35 days because we had weeks of easterlies. It was a shocker, but that old stove kept going. There was only one drawback. At one point it was a bit of a mishap, and I went over the side, and we were in the Labrador Current. By the time Roz got me back on board, I was a bit chilly, so she decided she'd put me down below and light the stove to warm me up, or blow up the stove, I should say, because it was already in. So she did that, and the chimney was glowing cherry red, and I was coming back to life, and the boat was rolling, and the sail was banging around, and she decided she'd drop it, because it was a gaff sail, and it was made a lot of drama, really. So she dropped the sail. It was a flax canvas sail, and she dropped it on the chimney, and the chimney burnt a hole right through it. Oh dear, poor girl. Well, I wasn't too pleased either, as you can imagine, because the first thing I had to do when I was declared once more one of the land of the living, I had to stitch a 1 foot square patch into my mainsail. Still, it was okay, got us home, no trouble. Then we had Herta, and we had to put a stove on her. Well, we got the same stove, actually. It was a Tor Gem that chap in Stockport used to make. Very simple stove. People used to put them in caravans. We put that on Herta. I led the stove through a locker so that it would be like an airing cupboard. I'm sorry, I led the pipe through the locker so it would be like an airing cupboard. And we could dry our tea towels and our undies. And actually, it worked quite well, but the trick was not to let the undies touch the stove, because the first thing that happened was my underpants burst into flame, and we had a real fright going down the English Channel. Anyway, I extinguished the underpants and made a few adjustments, and there was no more trouble with that one either. The one we put on Western Man was massive. It was a Morceau Squirrel. Actually, the same stove as we're currently putting in our building. And it's going to be plenty big enough for the building, and it blew us out of the boat. It was so hot. We didn't burn much wood on that one, because there wasn't that much room to stow wood on that boat, but we could stow coal. And I've done the same on Constance. With Constance, which is a fiberglass boat, a fiberglass production boat, a Mason 44, people think you can't put a wood stove in a fiberglass boat, but you can. What you do is you find a locker nobody loves, and you chop it out, and you put the wood stove there, and you insulate it nicely with tiles and insulation, and up you go. Through the deck, and nice little chimney on top, and you're done. And ours has worked fantastically well. It's a great success, the little stove I've put on Constance. It's a Faversham from Colin Frake in Kent. Just the thing for a smallish boat. perfect. And the wonderful thing about it is, I can burn coal, I buy the coal from the man down at the gas station, I put it all into lovely clean plastic bags that I buy from the hardware shop with a little zip on top, and I scatter it around the boat, these bags, so the weight is no problem, and when I want coal, I just pick the next one out, it goes in a locker under the stove, and that's the ready-use coal. Absolutely wonderful, perfect, no trouble at all. And the boat's toasty warm, with what Ed Burnett once described as a nice thick warmth. Now, you don't get thick warmth from a blown air heating system, and you don't get silence either. Over Christmas, I picked up a boy in Newtown Creek, and a chap came in. There was only us two in there, and he picked up the boy right next to me, and the first thing he did was flash up his blown air heating. So the lovely silent night, it was the only quiet night of Christmas, was made hideous by this roaring sound coming from this bloke's transom. What a shame, you know. I don't mind. I mean, I'm pleased he was warm, and I'm pleased he was out there. I reckon he was a good chap. His boat had a lovely name, and he looked like a fine fellow and his wife. But it was just a shame he had this horrible heating system when he could have had a lovely, solid fuel stove. Think about it. It's a friend. And the stove, with its fire, the fire is the thing that set us apart from the animals. It was the first thing we did when we got down from the trees that set us on our road to the unique situation we're now in. Fire. Well controlled, you can't beat it for making you a whole person.